Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk, and through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker.
So Nick, you've been describing your very, very adventurous Father's Day, and I'm hoping where we're sat now with this tablecloth, where you mentioned a takeaway curry, the stain I see is curry and not you ran out of toilet paper.
Crude, Penny, can I say. What that is ash from the incense stick that I was burning.
I see, all right.
We went authentically Thai. We created the whole sort of scents and smells.
Ambiance.
Yes, that's what we wished to do.
Well, I'm glad to know that. It's good to know.
So it will be being cleaned,
Thank you. Don't worry.
Well,
the sun is shining. I'm feeling playful. So hopefully we're going to go somewhere very jolly and sunny and lovely.
We are, but strangely, this was Father's Day way back in 1982, which of course was a Sunday, and we shall hear. So I was in a strange mood today after last night's brush with insanity.
Of course. Are we allowed to know anything about that brush?
Well, we are.
Good.
And so I will relate to you what was happening. I was working at Her Majesty's Theatre in the Lime Box, from which you did the follow spots on Amadeus, and this is what I wrote. Fooling around in the Lime Box this evening, I banged my head and I pretended to go mad. I started rubbing my face, laughing manically, when suddenly I realised that if I didn't stop immediately, I would go over the top into madness. It sounds bland writing it down here like that, but it was as if something had got hold of me and was pulling me, and it took a sudden exertion of inner strength to snap me out of it. Being normal was almost like another world. Is it so easy? Is it such a delicate balance, just that, to tip the scales? I've often discerned in myself an instability to be so near the edge of insanity, for that is what it was like. It was frightening.
Oh dear! To quantify some things, probably not a lot of sleep, probably slightly hysterical. You're working in the Lime Box, you're working in the dark. These are lots of things that would tempt you to the edge.
Up. I was with Jane Collard. She was insane herself.
She often would incite behaviours.
She would indeed. So it wasn't madness, but it felt as if I was very close to the edge.
That was your experience, and therefore that was your reality.
I had to get a hold of myself, and I did. So anyway, I was obviously quite in quite reflective mode after that, because I then wrote, I don't have a father.
Oh,
it's a bit sad.
Yeah, that's quite true. But is this the first one after your father's death?
No. This is about 5 years on, actually.
Right, yeah. Always a moment on these days, these special days.
Well, it seemed to be, yes. And of course it is now. And you do note the proliferation of people writing posts in memory of their past fathers.
You do.
It was a very strong thought that day. Semi-orphaned.
Of course, yeah. I know technically the word orphan denotes no parents, but I think it's bandied about.
So you think we all have to be sort of Oliver Twist rather than David Copperfield?
Just man up.
Had to sit and reflect on one's lack of a role model.
Ah, there we are.
Or lack of somebody to go, I've done better than you.
Or mainly lend us a fiver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that most importantly, really. Help me! So it was strong. It was a strong feeling and it set my mood for the entire day, particularly as I'd woken up quite early. Maybe it was the bang to the head. I read for ages, finishing May Gray's Mistake. Now, I loved May Gray. I became absolutely obsessed with the novels of Georges Simenon. So I did read his detective stories quite avidly, to the point where there was a TV series in the 60s and it had a wonderful theme tune, and I'd had that on record, and I used to make a tape for friends which was May Gray Finds The Rhythm of Life. In fact, it might have been that book that might have had the cover of it, but it was a picture of him pointing into the distance as if he could see the rhythm of life.
There it is.
It was heading towards him. Yeah, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Who is that actor in that?
Oh, you've floored me there. How dare you ask that question? As if I didn't know, Rupert Davis. Janet was in the garden on her own. So Janet was the lady who owned the house in Hampstead that we all lived in. She had the rooms on the ground floor.
The long-suffering Janet, I feel.
I think she was quite long-suffering, actually. Mm. And I do always feel a little bit bad. Actually, she was a great character. She was a lovely character.
I feel that you did quite a lot of things. You've painted walls and you've done things.
I did lots for her. And we did get on very well. Yes, she was a bit maltreated. Noisy people.
Noise, the least of her worries. The rent, I should think.
Well, and the rent. Yes, all right. Don't remind her. She'll be round. I'll have the bailiffs round. Janet was in the garden on her own, so I took down my rent.
Yes!
See, I paid it. We had quite a long chat. Catherine phoned Stephen and he invited us over for lunch. Stephen is Stephen Mann, who was a friend of Cathy's. She'd worked on a TV series with him. He was an actor. And we got on really well. I really liked him. He was a really good company. We had such a really good laugh. A little bit off the wall. So, Catherine... whatever I call her, she decided that she wanted to see him, so we did.
Okay. And it's a Sunday, so this is nice.
It's a Sunday, so it was something to do and a good way to spend the day. Great to be in his company. We played cards and I played the Enid Blyton type character they have chosen for me.
Oh.
So it's kind of like I got...
pigeonholed.
Yeah, pigeonholed into a sort of Julian or... what's the other one?
Dick. You've got George.
Dick.
You've got...
George was a girl.
Well, I do know that. Timmy the dog.
Anne. So it's Dick. And yeah. Dick or Julian, Dick I would or have Julian. Been. Probably from the Famous Five.
Yeah.
Or maybe, who knows, might have been somebody from the Secret Seven. I certainly hope it wasn't anyone from Mallory Towers.
Or even St. Clair's. We know way too much about Enid Blyton books.
Well, yes. In one way, yes. When your girl has left you out on And I think I loved them.
I really loved
reading them. And I did try and entice my children into them and sort of read them to them. But they weren't really that interested. So I think it was very much, it was still part of a world that we could recognise, I think.
There was the adventure without adults.
We were allowed to not and have we, them around. Yeah. We did actually just pack up a lunch and go out for the day. That was a possibility.
It was, wasn't it?
You know, we didn't necessarily get into mysteries.
No.
And solving mysteries.
I used to love as well when she'd describe some of the food on those picnics. It would make me starving.
Yes.
Great crusts of white bread and butter and jam. And I was starving.
Do you think she created a generation of big fat people? It's her fault.
Well, often...
The obesity that's going on in this...
We tried
pop, fizzy pop, lots of pop bottles.
It would be lemonade, it would be ice cold lemonade, and there would be cakes and scones.
Oh, look, I'm dribbling now. I'm absolutely dribbling now with the thought of it. She did go out of fashion a bit for being sort of sexist and things, but can we say that? Was George perhaps a feminist character?
What do I say?
The tomboy? There you go. I played the Enid Blyton type character, but my heart wasn't in it.
No.
My heart wasn't in anything. Mm. I had to force myself to be jolly. They wanted to go and see West Side Story, then go for a meal. Of course, I shouldn't have gone and said so. I only had £4. So I think we're coming back to this, that I was quite broke. We were quite poor, and wages, if I was working at the theatre, wouldn't have been very much at all.
And let's not forget, you just paid rent.
But you had forked out my rent for the month.
You broke.
All £22 of it, whatever it was.
Janet was robbed.
So I don't know whether it was for the week or for the month. I mean, in my head, I've got £22, but that might have been monthly.
You were sharing it, so, you know, you weren't in some luxurious penthouse, were you? You had a room.
I had a room in a house at the top of the house. We had our own kitchen, of course.
That's nice.
I haven't kept note of that, and I should have, really. But anyway, they encouraged me. But then there was a small scene when Catherine said, "Don't pay for him, Stephen."
Oh, that's mean.
Well, I think she got a bit fed up because I never had any money.
True.
And then people would pay for me to do things, and they probably then got a bit fed up. Which is why I'm probably writing, I shouldn't have gone. I should have just said, no, I won't go. But we were having
fun.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I don't know why I didn't go, because I wasn't even really enjoying myself. I felt I'd been pigeonholed into some sort of character that I didn't want to be.
I know, but there's some perverse pleasure, isn't there? Because even though you know you're performing... It's performing and you're getting a reaction. Because if you turned your back on it and you went home, you'd just be an orphan at home.
I would have been, yeah, and miserable. Mm. I could have been self-pitying. Mm. And, I could have been going insane, couldn't I?
That's true.
I could have been rubbing my face and laughing. rocking backwards and forwards. I heat up like a burning flame. She seems to think I'm truly mean and constantly leech off people. That my poverty, I don't know who I thought I was living in a room in Hampstead, is a joke. That I have lots of money and that I'm just stingy. I was obviously quite cross about this. It's a little bit of a rant, isn't it? Can she not accept that we have different attitudes to money? That I have to account for every penny? Especially with £100 debt over my head.
Oh dear.
So I don't know what that debt was.
Dare I mention it, the bookshop incidents? You haven't got to pay some fine.
No, because that was a couple of years ago. I'd stopped.
Okay, that. Good.
The kleptomania terminated in 1980. That was the last time I was arrested.
For anybody who's confused, just go back and have a look at the entries for the 80s and you will find the episodes where Nick...
It was December, wasn't it? It was December 1980, I think
to
it was.
A terrible
overwhelmed with the need for literature so badly that I didn't pay for it. Right, thank you. So, anyway, there I had a £100 debt over my head. That could have been rent.
£122 is what you actually owed her.
I paid her some rent. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the debt was. Oh, maybe dear. I just borrowed off people.
Yeah.
Because to be sociable, I've been foolish with my money.
Oh, dear.
So I think what I did was I'm actually very, very easily led. I spent my life with spendthrifts yes. like Kim. I think Kathy erred in that direction yes. a bit at the time. Mm-hmm. Or they're all people with money.
Yes.
But A, I was hedonistic and I enjoyed myself. And B, people enjoyed my company.
Exactly. So they were always encouraging, come on, yes. Nick, come on.
Yeah, they'd encourage me to do it and I'd spend and then I wouldn't have anything for the next time I wanted to go out. And then I'd be thinking, oh, and then I'm borrowing money and I'm owing money. And
Vicious circle.
Anyway, I did go.
Of course.
I did go see West Side Story, which of course I love anyway.
Yeah.
Fabulous music, dancing.
Of course.
I feel sometimes I think I'm a jet and I move through Brighton.
Bam, 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 bam.
Boy, boy, crazy boy.
Funny thing.
Of course, that wouldn't have been in the charts at the time.
No, that's true. What else have we got that we're going jolly along to? What would have been?
Yeah. Yes. Well, we had Torch, Soft Cell. Hungry Like the Wolf, which of course I was because yeah. I had no money. Feed me. The Look of Love, ABC. I Want Candy.
You certainly do.
Bow Wow Wow. Mm. I wanted candy, I got my candy. Abracadabra. It wasn't coming from anywhere. I did some magic. Also, Mama Used to Say Junior, which I think I really liked that
song.
A lot.
That was one of my faves.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was great. Captain Sensible as well, doing Happy Talk, which I did really, really like. Yeah. But I'm not even sure that could have lifted my mood for the day.
Ooh,
maybe
dear.
I needed to listen to it. And the wonderful Rock the Casbah.
Oh, good ones.
Which was, so there were some nice tunes around, some good things to keep me buoyant. But anyway, I was out in the cinema. We saw that on Baker Street, actually. I remember that. I haven't written that here, but I remember actually going to see it on Baker Street. And I probably did dance down Baker Street. Anyway, the film was great. We met a friend of Stephen's called Simon, who seemed quite charming, very theatrical. I was a total bore. Lots on my mind. I couldn't be jolly. A, I thought I was going mad. B, I'd got no dad. B, I was feeling pissed off about the fact that I've got no money.
Yeah.
I had nothing. I had plenty of nothing.
You've got plenty of nothing, haven't you?
And I felt intimidated by everyone. I felt restless and sad.
How old are you?
It wasn't a great
day.
I'm 21.
You was a mixed up crazy boy.
Just a little, yes. Yes, it was a difficult day.
Had you not revealed why it was that you were feeling sad to any of these people?
No. I don't know whether they noticed that I was saddened. Oh. I haven't even noticed. I haven't noted that, have I? Because I was obviously playing the character. I think it's the today's journal entry has been about my interior life rather than my exterior. Whereas I think the exterior was probably being quite jolly.
Yeah.
I just felt I was being a bore. And you know, sometimes as well, when you are not in a very good mood, but you are still being the person you are. And I sometimes do that and I just feel I'm being boorish.
Yes.
Shut the hell up.
Oh, that was very restrained.
It was. I refrained.
You censored yourself.
Julian wouldn't say that word. Oh, hell, I think is what they would say. Ooh. Get the Enid Blyton now. Yeah. Have a check. Anyway, despite all of that, I managed to taxi home.
What the? You're ridiculous. We've just endured your moaning here, your sad plight, and you're in a cab.
I know, I know. Well, I don't know whether that was because I was with Kathy.
No, that was.
So she might have been paying for the taxi.
Okay.
It could have been.
Yeah.
But it looks, in there, it's an indulgence, isn't it, when I can't. And I shouldn't be. Or once again, I've been talked into parting with money. But I don't think I've had very much left out of £4.
Exactly.
I must have had to borrow some money.
Maybe she paid for the cab.
I hope so. She's a heart of gold.
Okay, good. We're going to say she paid for the cab then.
Yeah.
We're going to let you off that indulgence.
Yeah.
And I think you need to get home.
Oh, well, I did need to get home and to perhaps put myself to bed and go to sleep and put everything out of my mind. I have just identified, though, I look very quickly at the next day and it says, paid off some more of John Moore's. So I'd obviously bought something from a catalogue. That might be the £100 debt. Perhaps I'd gone a little bit crazy at John Moore's.
Well, you don't want to be doing that. That's quite an emotional day, quite a revealing, insightful day that we've spent with you there.
Yes, it was a day, yeah.
Hopefully, next time, you are in better command of your inner emotions and also your friggin' wallet.
My wallet and my mind.
Never lose those two things. And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.